your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo. That's a really dope Hey Arnold shirt, by the way.
I got distracted.
I'm Ronaldo, and I hope we can live up to the ideals that y'all just heard Brad Hanna say in the preamble with, what was it? Intelligent, engaging, and interactive conversation?
Yes.
We could give you like one of them.
Which one? Let's pick one for the day.
Interactive?
All right, I'm Ricardo. Thanks for joining us today. Telephone lines open. Text line is open. If you want to join the conversation today, you can hit us up at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also open. Powered by BTC, it's 422-GR96 or 422-4796.
What's the lead this week? There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in local sports. There's a lot going on with Bahamians internationally. You look like he was about to...
No, I just want to say, like, usually this used to be the dull part of the year. You're waiting for MLB All-Star Game.
We don't have dull parts of the year anymore.
Shout out to the WNBA for doing great things, for giving me something to watch in the early parts of June. And also shout out to, like, the tourism sports community here locally, putting on great events, giving people things to do as well.
There is so much going on, and we're going to try to get to it in the hour that we have. But I wanted to start for me in the most obvious place, the place where I had a lot of worry, a lot of trepidation because, okay, to begin the WNBA season, the New York Liberty looked like world beaters. It looked like there was nothing that could stop them. They reeled off, what, 9 in a row? About 5 of those 9 looked like they were playing a completely different sport from everyone else. But like the rest of the world discovered in the finals, like we always knew, doesn't matter if you have Sabrina Ionescu. Doesn't matter if you have Breanna Stewart.
Not to say that they're not good players.
No, they are.
I've been having that argument all week.
No, they are fantastic players. I mean, John has some different opinions. He's not here. They are fantastic players. All stars. MVP caliber players. But the most important person on that roster is Jonquel Jones. This is why she was finals MVP going head-to-head against Nafisa Collier, who's probably going to be the league MVP this year. Yeah. But the minute Jonquel Jones was out... And she rolled her ankle, I think it was early June. They lost to the Fever. Now, Caitlin Clark returned in that game, went supernova. She went off for like 32. Saab actually matched her in that game and had 32. But the Fever lost their first game of the season with JJ sidelined. I saw that and I was like, you know what? I get it. You don't have the most important player on your team. The offense runs through JJ. Fun fact, the Liberty are actually 28-0 when JJ has at least 10 points and 10 boards. So that shows you how important she is.
It's a ridiculous stat, but to the point that you're making is once she's on the court, the way that she not only facilitates on the offensive end, but the way that she organizes that team on the defensive end. You talked about Stewart. You talked about Sabrina. They are in their own right top-tier players. But it's just something different about the Liberty when JJ is on the court. She just is the focal point.
So she initially rolls her ankle on June 5th. And we're like, you know, hoopers get ankle injuries. It's that happens. Common. You roll your ankle, you'll be back. I thought initially she came back a bit soon. She came back on the 17th. So that was like a little less than 2 weeks. Here's where the worry comes in. Then she rolls her ankle again.
Same ankle.
Now, one ankle injury, yeah. When you have that re-aggravation happening so quickly, she only played one game before, and they had the epic comeback against the Dream. Came down from 18. She had a double-double in that one. When she rolled the ankle again the second time, now I'm worried. Because now I think if you're the Liberty, we got to start thinking about the possible rematch against Minnesota. We got to start thinking postseason. So I don't know. You can't rush her back after having it happen twice.
Right. And it's not that you don't have the team capable of picking up the slack in her absence. And that was the strange part about her rushing back for that Fever game. It was like, yes, the Fever, pretty good team.
Yeah, but you know, though.
You wanted the matchup.
For a WNBA player.
Right.
The way to get to the thing against Caitlin Clark.
Right.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think they needed her for that game, and it kind of sucks that she played that full game and a little bit in the game thereafter and rolled the ankle again. But I'm in agreement with you. I took some time going over some of the replays just to make sure that we're on the safe side heading into the playoffs, because for all the things that we think about the WNBA, the last three seasons, the playoff runs in the WNBA have been tremendous. Love for us, JJ has been a part of two of them, and hopefully this year it's a third.
Actually been a part of three, because it's her last year in Connecticut, they made that run, just couldn't get by Elena Delladon. But I'm concerned about this one. They have her listed as day-to-day. I feel like she needs to be out at least a minimum of 2 weeks. Like, there's no reason to chance this. If before she was out 12 days, I think you got to keep that going. Like, right now, I don't know about this day-to-day. I need a specific injury designated status. I need them to protect her from herself, because I know she's a hooper. She's a warrior. She just wants to get back out there. And they said she's potentially joining the team. They played the Storm tonight, so there's a chance she's going to be in practice. I don't even want to practice in you. I don't want any of that. I want her to sit in isolation for 2.5 weeks, maybe three.
Nah, for me, it's always been this trepidation when it comes to ankle injuries, because we've seen that be the story report or the news report that we see coming out of locker rooms when players go down with an ankle a couple of weeks later, something bigger. So I'm in full agreement with you that let's just be cautious with this now. Give her time to let that heal up properly before we go into the playoff stretch.
Because here's the thing. And if it's not Minnesota, I think Indiana has already, because you can come up in the WNBA fairly quickly.
Right.
I think Indiana has the team that can actually challenge right now. So you were going to have a postseason run and you got to deal with Aaliyah Boston and
Caitlin Clark, I was just about to say,
you got to have JJ.
Shout out to the front office of the Indiana Fever, figuring out that was the move that they needed to make. Bringing in not only players that could dominate in the post, but the protection of Caitlin. I know we're going to get into that
difficult conversation. Sophia Cunningham?
Yes, the protection that Caitlin Clark needed. It has been tremendous to see that team come together over the last couple of weeks.
Are we allowed to talk WNBA without talking Caitlin Clark?
We're not.
Are we contractually mandated that we got to bring it up if we talk about JJ?
We have to. But I want the public to be aware that a lot of WNBA conversations happen within our various WhatsApp groups. So this is something that
a lot we can't share on here.
Some of it. We can keep it PG. But no, the conversation around Caitlin.
Not the Angel Reese conversations.
But the conversation around the WNBA is always going to center around Caitlin Clark, because, for lack of a better phrase, she is the person taking it to the next level.
She's a supernova. She's a comet streaking across the sky. She is the kind of things that she does, the kind of attention that she draws. I feel like it's becoming monotonous the way people have to discuss the WNBA through the prism of whatever happens.
I think it's ridiculous because, again, if you WNBA closely resembles the trajectory that the NBA went on. If we go back in time, we could see stories similar to this. If you go back in the mid to late 80s when Magic and Bird was doing their thing, you talk to all the people who were wrong at that point. Yes, Magic and Bird, they were great players. But when Michael Jordan came on the scene, you saw something different. You saw something in Michael Jordan that could say, hey, this is somebody that everybody would want to watch. People that are new to basketball, people that are sometime in and out of basketball, they're going to want to show up every night to watch somebody like Michael Jordan play.
And that's what she is. And I think people kind of do a disservice to her when they feel the need to say she has to be protected by the league or she has to be officiated a different way. And I feel like you can tell from the type of player that she is that she don't even want that.
No.
She don't even want that.
No, I think most of the time it's the general public, the general viewing public that is heaping all of this. See, this is where we're going to
get. Can we talk about the demographic that's pushing that? Anyway.
Let's have the conversation, because those are the narratives being portrayed onto this situation.
I want my visa renewed.
I think we could differ on this a bit. But when we look at the demographics, I think people have so many social commentary that they want to have that they can't have in other spaces, so they bring that to this dialogue.
But they also use her as an avatar for things that she does not stand for.
No. And it's not on both sides. We could bring the same thing with Angel Reese.
Yes, they also use Angel Reese as an avatar for things that she does not stand for. Yeah. And they kind of create... The problem with that is they tried to frame... Let's go back to what you were saying about Bird and Magic. They tried to frame the same thing, but the difference in that was Bird and Magic were on similar tiers. And these two players are not. Connect lies in that way.
I mean, they were when this whole conversation started.
I don't think they were. I think now, one was on a team that was. I don't think they were.
Now, when this conversation initially started behind these two girls, it was quite clear that Angel Reese was also a very special player.
No,
she did not have the offensive game.
Absolutely. I'm just saying you can be a special player but also not be the next one. You can be a very special player.
See, this is where I think a lot of people...
Coming out of the 96 draft, Ray Allen, very special player. But nobody thought he was going to... Nobody thought Kobe Bryant. Nobody thought he had the same ceiling as Kobe Bryant.
There's some people in Milwaukee that thought different.
Fair enough.
There's some people in New Jersey that thought Kerry Kittle was the guy.
I'm just speaking about a general consensus. But anyway, when you mention the WNBA, you have to have the conversations through Caitlin Clark. But I want to see if JJ is going to come back. I need her to come back and be 100% healthy because that matchup.
That's going to be a 7-game series. Sorry, a 5-game series.
And all of the eyes will be on that. You are going to bring in the fringe fans who are only there for Caitlin, and those are the moments. I love when Bahamians are placed in that situation because I want them to shine when everyone's watching. To me, and this segue is going to be a bit too early because we're going to get to Jazz, but that's why I was in New York. And when they made that run towards the World Series, because I'm like, now people get to see him on the biggest stage. People that had no idea what he was doing down in Miami, but you get to see him do it there. Same thing with JJ. She was great for years in Connecticut. The league MVP in Connecticut. Multiple-time All-Star in Connecticut. But it was different when she came to New York. And it'll be even more different if you take out Caitlin Clark and the Fever in the playoffs.
No, I think that's the matchup we all expect because it's quite clear. If the Fever continue on this trajectory, they're going to be at the very least in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And to do all that, you got to sit down for like 3 weeks. Let me ask you a different question.
Not 3 weeks. I think another week and a half. She's good.
2, 3. Let me ask you a different question, though. Do you think it helps bolster one's MVP case if you see how bad your team is when you're injured?
It does.
Because this is the argument that I'm going to have to make because I feel like, and every night when we sign off on the news, we implore every behemoth, go to WNBA.com. Vote JJ to get into the All-Star game. She needs to make her 6th appearance in the All-Star game.
Right.
I don't care what the numbers say. This is the most important player on the best team in the league. Go vote for her right now. But my thing is, though, if she's hurt and she has to sit down for an extended period, obviously it's going to hurt the numbers. But are we having nuance in this conversation?
I feel like every professional athlete should have like some sort of image coordinator or some sort of PR staff behind them. Because this is the argument I've been having for years. Yes, Asia Wilson is up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think JJ is that far behind. The issue is...
In terms of marketing, yes.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't think JJ is that far behind. With the right team around her, with the right branding, with the right positioning, I think we could see, to a degree, one of the faces of the WNBA. She's been a terrific talent for the last 4 years. If you want to go back her entire time in the WNBA, you spoke about her time in Connecticut. She's been an MVP. She's made championship runs down in Connecticut as well. What we see here is the ability of a player to be that standout caliber player, but not get the recognition. I think if she had the right PR or media team behind her, she'd be in those positions.
Do you think it's as simple as she's not American?
I don't think so. I think she has the... watching her run after the finals, she was in the media, she was in the press. I thought she started something that she could build off of. And then, I'm going to say it, she came back home, she spent a couple of weeks here, she went out on the boat, and she just chilled for a bit, and she lost all the momentum. She lost all the momentum.
Let's talk about why the momentum isn't the same. And a lot of people have these conversations when they talk about the WNBA, but I feel like sexuality is always going to play a factor. Asia Wilson is going to get the push. Sabrina Ionescu is going to get the push. And then there are people that argue that that's a big part of the reason Caitlin Clark gets the push as well.
I disagree because I remember the WNBA coming up. Those were the kind of persons that got the nod. Sexuality was never in the conversation. I look back at times when you had
who openly at that point though, because at that point Cheryl
Swoops was you're gonna hate me for saying this, before she had the Russia situation, there was a stretch Brittany Griner, despite all of the issues that she had.
Everyone knew though.
Yes, no, what I'm saying is despite her sexuality, she was pushed to the moon and back. Not only by the WNBA, she was in NBA marketing as well, as the face of the WNBA moving forward. So she had that despite her sexuality.
Because I think that was something that we hadn't seen before, right? She was coming in the league.
At that point we realized that was the new mold. Yeah. She was just the first in the mold, but that was the new mold. You look at the college ranks thereafter, you had two or three Brittany Griners right behind her. And that was the reason, like, Angel Reese and all of these other players with length and the ability to move the ball up and down the floor got the spotlight. Because they looked at Brittany Griner and was like, hey, you think this is good? She's just the first of a whole line of them coming out. Had the spotlight.
I'm still a member of Reese's Pieces, by the way.
Right during the JJ was in the same format as Brittany Griner. Again, not getting the spotlight that she rightfully deserved, because they had a couple of matchups where she literally went at Brittany Griner and destroyed her.
Yeah.
But she did not get the spotlight because, again, that PR, that marketing, that's needed. The social media, the TikToks, all these things.
I'm just saying there are a lot of people that are going to have the conversations, and we've seen and we've heard the conversations about why there are certain people that get that. And why certain people don't.
So I'll say
that
it like
is
this.
Something
I'll
that we need like 2 hours to get into.
I'll concede this one point to you before we get off the map. Out of for her, it would make a tremendous difference. Because it's the same thing with Buddy. It's the same thing with Kai when he first
met. We as in Bahamians?
Yes. I think. And there lies the issue with her sexuality.
You saw that reaction when she came home.
I understand
right?
all okay. of it. All I'm saying is to the same point that you're imploring people at the end of every newscast, get on WNBA.com. Vote for JJ to be in a six all-star game. That shouldn't even be a conversation. If she was a talent from anywhere else in the world, despite her sexuality, it would be a situation where there would be a groundswell of support. Every communication, every promotion coming out of that country would have had JJ's face on it.
I agree. And you know who else we got to vote to get into the all-star game?
Go ahead.
We got to vote for Jazz.
I have my issues with that.
You know what my biggest thing about this is? And I overheard some people in the barbershop having this kind of conversation. Why do we feel like we have to be objective and fair about this? We are a country of like 400,000 people. What are y'all trying to be fair for? Just vote repeatedly for our people and that's it. I don't need us to stand on this soapbox and say, well, he doesn't have the numbers or they're so-and-so is better than him. Nobody else does this. Nobody else cares. Just vote blindly for your people like y'all do with elections. Sorry.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I don't know. It's just this weird dynamic, and I understand exactly where you come from. Begin the debate in your barbershop. Some people that raise me with the premise that, nah, when you put that vote in, when you go about selecting somebody for that sort of accolade, they have to deserve it. I'm not saying that Jazz has had a horrible season.
Let me tell you something.
I'm just saying he's not been an all-star caliber player.
Let me tell you something about when Yao Ming came to the NBA.
China different, though.
Let me tell you something. Do you think any of those people cared about Yao Ming's numbers? Yeah. They did not.
There was a couple of games.
They did not.
And they played that on a replay. So I think everyone in China saw that and was like, oh, he beat Shaq. So yeah, he's the greatest head of all time. Two games.
That's all they need. What else y'all need? You can vote 5 times a day for the MLB All-Star game. A majority of your day should be spent voting for Jazz.
No,
that's it.
In all fairness, I have my opposition to the take, not because of his performance so far this season.
He was hurt. When he's been healthy, there are very few that have been better. And I don't even care if they've been better. Listen, I'm not even talking about MLB. I'm not talking about the MLB at large. I am talking about us here under the sound of my voice and even people who ain't listening, y'all with these same passports that I got, all of y'all should be voting for Jazz.
So, matter of fact, I want us to have this conversation. How much time do you have before we go to the
We got like 5 minutes.
All right. Maybe we can pick this up on the back. And I want to throw it out to the listening audience. I want to find out how many people actually focus on things like that. Like, do you know that the MLB All-Star Game is coming up? Do you know the WNBA All-Star Game is coming up? Is there something that we need to do as a sports media company in the Bahamas? Is there something that the government needs to be doing to make you more aware of these things? I'm not saying, because knowledge is going to go to, y'all should already be aware. I'm not even going to do that to you guys. I just want to know, honestly.
Like spoon feed these people?
I just honestly want to know, is this something that you guys are just not paying attention to? Is this something that you don't understand how important this is to the legacy of our Bahamian-born, our professional athletes? I really want to get into that conversation. But if you have the chance, hit us up. 10-499-354-316-325-4259. Toll free from the Family Island. So y'all in Freeport, y'all got Buddy, y'all got JJ. Hit us up toll free at 242-300-5720. If you want to hit us up on the text line, that's also active as well. 422-GR96. Let us know why you are not out in mass voting for Bohemian-born professional athletes.
And you can't vote five times. All I'm saying is, look, remember the start he had to the season. Right. Remember the whole torpedo bat. It wasn't even a fiasco.
It was.
Jazz was on fire. Then he got hurt. The numbers tailed down. So look, wasn't hitting for a great average, right? Numbers tailed off. Then he got hurt. Since he's come back from injury, the numbers have been amazing. Got his average all the way back up to 236. Yeah. Because Aaron Boone talked about the fact that, well, now his swing is down to like 70%. Because they wanted to cut down on the swing and miss rate. They wanted to cut down on the strikeout rate. Since he changed those things and made some tweaks, you see him now hitting for a better average. All
right.
All I'm saying is the numbers support it. When we look at the raw numbers, but extrapolate that to if he was healthy throughout the rest of those games, yes, he absolutely deserves a spot in the All-Star game. I'm going to vote for my fourth time right now. You know what I did? It was the second thing I did once I woke up.
You voted for Jazz.
I voted for Jazz in the All-Star game, and I voted for JJ. I'm a better Bahamian than you.
You should put that on a shirt. Not supported. We're getting into the month of independence. I have the check marks. I voted for Jazz. I voted for JJ. I'm a better Bahamian than you.
You know what?
I like that.
You know what? That is actually a good idea. I got to write that down. But yes, we do. Sometimes I understand the objectivity. I understand that people feel like, yeah, you gotta earn it. But I've just never been like that with our people. I'm sorry.
I get it. See, I've never had, and this is something I'm dealing with now in my 30s that I never had before. In most instances, Bahamian athletes either played for one of my favorite teams or were closely associated with it.
Which one came first, though? Were they your favorite teams because you had them associated with
it? A combination of both.
Right.
So I remember like the Rick Fox years. Some strange reason. I always tell people, Rick Fox was in my community as a kid. I saw Rick Fox before I saw him on TV. I saw him in my neighborhood. Like, this is the strange part about it.
And you were like, wait, that dude, I know that dude playing for the Lakers.
So this is it. So I remember telling my daddy at one point, like, that's Rick Fox. And he's like, yeah, he's a behavior. I was thinking he's playing with Kobe. And that changed the entirety of my life.
That blew your mind as a child.
When he came the next summer, we had to do Jeff Rogers. And I remember, like, he was in there, but he came to a date. I stopped everything I was talking about. Rick Fox, tell me about Kobe. That's immediately what I did. That changed my whole look. So in the summer, like, you was just here, and then you going to go play with Kobe? I need to understand how to work it out. So
how does it work to be adjacent to Kobe Bryant?
And Shaq was still on the team then, but I was more of a Kobe stan than a Shaq
you
stan.
You breathe the same air as Kobe Bryant. What is that like?
That was actually my fourth question. I didn't care. He was like, yeah, but you know, Kobe don't really, like, do what you think he's is really the coach and it's the try. I said, like, yeah, I understand I'm in a triangle, bro. How Kobe's getting the ball like that? Like, that's all I was caring about. And, like, as I grew up and I recognized, like, hey, you know, Rick Fox is a prominent person in our society and all that, I could have just never eliminated from my mind that Rick Fox is the guy to play with the Kobe. I used to tell everybody I met, like, from international country, I know Rick Fox, he used to play with Kobe.
I can't believe they didn't say it when they made him an ambassador. That should have been the number one thing.
Introducing Rick Fox, he played with Kobe.
For the 50th time, vote for our pending ambassadors, JJ and the WNBA. So go to WNBA.com. Listen, just follow the instructions. It's very simple. The All-Star vote, all of that is right there in front of your face. Go there, vote for JJ. I guess you got to vote for some other people too, because you got to vote for a complete roster. But the main idea is you voting to get JJ into the All-Star game. Feel free to vote Angel Reese if you want to. And go to MLB.com 5 times per day. 5 times. If you vote for Jazz once, not enough. Twice, not enough. 5 times per day. Vote Jazzism into the All-Star game.
Get your kids to do it while they're on TikTok.
Get your kids to do it. They're on their phones all the time. They ain't talking to you. It's the summer. They barely want to interact with their parents. But tell them, listen, You know what I would start doing? I would start withholding the devices and say, you can't have this until you vote for Jazz and JJ. That's the only way you get in this laptop back. The only way you get in this tablet back.
I see a court case right now. I can imagine the kid. It was abuse. He took my phone and told me I couldn't get it back.
To be mandated to vote for Jazz and JJ. Before you enter church.
Did you vote for Jazz?
Before you enter church on Sunday or whatever day you choose to worship, you should be mandated first and foremost, vote for Jazz and JJ.
Oh, boy. Shout out. July is right around the corner, so I'm interested to see how this goes now.
Be a better behavior. That'll do it for this half. When we come back at a halftime, we're going to talk some local nationals. We're going to talk swimming. We're going to talk baseball and see what else we can get into. Oh, there's a game seven.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Let's celebrate 50 plus together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy two adults and three children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus. Restrictions apply.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news anywhere, anytime, all day.
Welcome back to the Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and during the break, I just voted for Jazz Chisholm for my fourth time for the day to get into the MLB All-Star game.
I think I have a solution here.
All right.
I know this is Elkin 360 season. I think we should reach out to him to create a song.
I have had enough.
Okay.
Have you not?
I mean, I don't just go there and listen to it. I don't have him like on a mixer or anything on my Apple playlist. It's just independent time I know to go to that bag. I'm just saying now would be the perfect time. If we have him create a song that speaks to voting for Bahamian athletes to make their respective All-Star games, we could just roll it out at the right time.
He's good at one thing. I feel like when we tried, it was a nice novelty 2 years ago. I feel like it even trailed off last year. It was a nice novelty 2 years ago. I feel like when you ask him to branch out of anything beyond that one specific thing, now you're asking too much.
So I guarantee you, if you exhaust it now, in the span of a week and a half, every place you turn, that song is going to be clear.
I don't feel like that popped last year like the way it did the year before.
Probably because you tuned it out because you were so frustrated. Everywhere I went, it was there. You go to buy a piece of Benny Cake, Elkin 360. You buy a piece
where
of...
Where are you top, going to buy Benny
Baltimore's.
Cake?
Baltimore's had it way too much. I felt like that was the only song they had playing in there. Baltimore's Candy on East Street,
Yes.
Too much.
How often are you going to buy Benny cake?
Probably once a month. I really go like every 2 days for
peanuts. What is it made out of?
Like, I always thought it was just Benny. I thought
what is the Chicago Bulls? I don't know. What is it? No, that has to be a nickname for some thing. If somebody actually knows what Benny cake is, please explain it to me.
I think
also, not a cake.
To be human,
not a cake. And I've thought this it's as like a child. Seed. I've been in arguments about this as a kid when my parents are trying to
you
explain
sound
to
like
me.
You have
that
an
is
issue.
Not a cake.
You don't like Benny cake.
I'm just saying it's not a cake.
Benny cake, Peter cake, the little coconut tart candies. Gotta get your little fix of human sweets and treats. Shout out Mortimer. They have really good, their peanuts are top tier. I don't
You know what? No, now you're talking my language.
I don't like the fact that it's now $3 a bag, but it is what it is.
Inflation. Inflation. Never thought I would see the day when peanuts was $3 a bag. You know what I always thought we should have? I promise you we're going to get to sports eventually. You know what I always thought we should have? A peanut app.
A what?
Because,
Oh, no, I've heard this story from you before.
You've heard my peanut app idea. You should know. You should be able to download the peanut app. No.
Our text line just hit us up with all the information we need.
Ah, there we go.
Apparently, Benny is just sesame seeds and sugar.
Huh.
I would have never... I could have lived to be 127.
Yes.
I'm guaranteed...
That would be impressive.
In my 127th year,
yeah.
That would have been news to me. That would have been news to me. I would have never guessed it.
Also, not a cake.
I mean, it's cake-like.
I feel like you know, it should have been called... You know what? Cake was just the branding that it came up with back in the day. Also, where did the name Benny come from?
I mean, we only had one or two options. In Bahamas, we have Johnny Bread, Johnny... You have to fall in one of those two categories. Either you're cake or bread. There's no in-between.
No, they had candy. You got, the red and white one that came in the wax
paper. Yeah, but we didn't even...
It was bigger candy.
I've never heard anybody call those candy.
What do they call them?
They just call them like suckers or like...
they do not.
That's what they just call
they
them.
They do not. They do not.
Oh my God.
555 and they absolutely do not. Anyway, so this I promise to get to sports. This is a big weekend for junior nationals on several fronts. I want to start in Grand Bahama because right now the Bahamas Baseball Association Andre Rogers Junior Nationals is currently going on. Saturday is always a huge day because that's when we get down to the semifinal time. That's when you get down to the rivalries, the matchups. And then Sunday, you have your medal games. The BBA Junior Nationals has always been, and in recent years, I think it's even becoming more of a big deal because of the guy. He's one of the guys that we talked about in the first half, Jazz Chisholm reaching to the heights that he reached. So now you have for the last few years, since we've really reinvigorated this push towards the pros and you have so many Bahamians flooding the pipeline, well, you got to talk about where they come from and where they really first burst on the scene and where that development comes from. And at that young age, the BBA Nationals is such a big part of that. For a lot of things have changed and now travel ball is more prominent at a younger age, but for a lot of these kids, this is your first big deal when you get to go to nationals as a 8 and under kid. When you get to go there as a 10 and under kid, and you, whether it's here or whether it's in Grand Bahama, and you play against the different leagues before you really branch out and get anywhere else in your career, it's a big deal. So, for me, this is one of these landmark events, and it's always competitive, and it's always something that I think people should look forward to, not just for baseball fans, but Bahamian sports fans in general. Was that the?
I don't have much to add on that because, what?
No, I thought.
Oh no! They just was confirming again. It's sesame seeds and sugar. I'm really blown away by this. I had to look it up.
Wanted to talk about Benny.
No,
cake.
I just
as you heard me talking about baseball, you was like, "Where's my opening to get here?"
I actually prefer peanut cake over Benny cake. I never thought about what.
It's because peanuts themselves are superior to sesame seeds.
Oh, which is true. But who would have thought putting sesame seeds together with sugar would produce that? Again, you said it when we were at the softball game. We're losing recipes. Somebody had to put a script together to tell me who got me come up with that for the first time. To say, hey, if you toast these sesame seeds, pour some sugar in it, it'll come out epic. I just need to know the process.
Let me ask you about rivalries. Are rivalries if the numbers aren't comparable? So if me and you play 10 times and I beat you 7 out of 10, is that a rivalry?
No, I think in rivalries, the numbers don't really matter. It's the energy between the two sources. So you can have a situation where both of them aren't good, but because they always play and because it draws the scene.
Energy.
That's all that matters.
So a big part of what BBA Nationals are about is Freedom Farm versus JBL.
That's it.
That's so it doesn't matter who it doesn't matter who wins the most.
It's good if you have a good game. It's good if you have good players coming out of it. It's good if you see the that one team one group wants to prove that to the next group, we're just better. So it doesn't matter how you get there, it's the fact that you get it. So that's why most times after a big rivalry game, nobody questions what the score was, whatever. Only thing you hear is who won.
Oh, it's like the cliche. You are the cliche master. But it's like when they say throw the records out of the window when these two teams meet.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if the Yankees and the Red Sox are both trash. It's a rivalry.
You can't tell me how many times the Soxons play second behind the Valley Boys. Or
never.
First up.
Oh, sorry.
You can't say it.
Not, it ain't gonna happen no
the
more.
Only thing you know is who won.
Fair enough. So that also had me thinking about swim nationals because I feel it's just Mako and then everybody else. So I don't know.
Say that the kids are heading over to the pool.
I was just talking about who wins as individual. Individual. Listen, swimming is an individual sport masked within a team concept.
Correct.
So yeah, you got the point standings and you got all that, but yeah, you swimming for times and you swimming for qualification. And you trying to get to that next step. I understand the team concept
if
is good.
If Lil Susie's in the car getting ready for a 200 breaststroke. Mom, please turn around and tell Lil Susie. Now I'll see she have a chance even though she don't swim for me.
Lil Susie is probably going to do amazing. And I'm rooting for you and wishing you all the best. But if, I mean, one has meant a lot. So like, do they have a rivalry? I don't think
one exists in swim. I mean, I think we've developed this concept.
So no more rivalry with that either?
No. I don't think we've had a rivalry in...
It's 7 years, maybe eight years.
Yeah, I just think is that idea. We compete for winners. That's the Bahamian motto. So behind the JJ shirt, you should put that on the back. We compete for winners.
We show up for winners.
I like that.
Because when when you ain't winning, Bahamian's kind of like,
Rick Fox didn't win every year.
Oh, geez.
He didn't win every year.
He won three times.
Yeah, and then the other times, you know, he started as a Boston Celtics.
Yes!
Like, that's something I had to learn hard. I was like, he's been a Laker my whole life.
What hard way? Like, what?
Somebody had to explain to me he used to play for the Celtics. I was like, never. They had to pull up actual video footage of him in a Celtics jersey. That's not Rick Fox. It took me like 2 months to accept that.
Yeah, 44 was his number. There's an obvious reason why he couldn't wear 44 once he got to LA.
That's, 17 was better.
Than 44?
Yes.
Let's talk briefly about what we were up to. So we are on the call of the Queens and Paradise softball series, which pits two women's professional fast pitch teams against each other. This the Atlanta Smoke, Orlando Monarchs, playing a 3-game series at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium. The final game is tonight. First pitch is at 7 p.m. But before that, you have a government mission, so bridging the gap between the local sports and the sports tourism market. And we talked about this. You could also catch me and Carter there on the broadcast, by the way. Go on YouTube to the Women's Fast Pitch page, and we'll have the play-by-play for that. Just as entertaining as this. We may not have an entire segment on Benny Cake versus Peanut Cake, but we might.
I mean,
I don't know. We might.
We've seen tremendous play at shortstops from both teams this entire series so far. So they could be like Benny Cake versus Peanut Cake.
Okay, that's not a rivalry.
Sanders has been so tremendous. She would definitely be the Peanut Cake in this analogy.
You know what you're doing wrong with this? Because I don't feel like those two are rivalries. If you were doing what's the better tart between coconut or pineapple, then that's an actual argument.
I don't think there's an argument there.
There's obviously an argument.
There's not. Pineapple tart is heads and shoulders above coconut tart.
It is not heads and shoulders. It is much closer. You're trying to make this like this is more.
I need a tart, lady.
The tart argument is more of a Magic Bird argument than a Jordan John Starks argument.
It is not.
It is absolutely.
I need somebody who's a tart connoisseur to just provide Ronaldo the numbers.
You know why? Hold on. But you know why, though? Which one do you feel like is the more popular one? There's no way you're telling me pineapple is more popular.
It is.
No!
Everybody in Lucha just turned off the show. What do you mean pineapple is more popular than coconut tart?
That's one island. I think most people, when they think tart, your mind automatically goes coconut.
Who?
Bahamians.
Never. They're absolutely never. I never had nobody just randomly say, hey, make sure you get the coconut tart over to the thing.
I have
a few coconut tarts in there, but pineapple is the go-to, bro. We sweet people. We sweet people.
They both are.
Pineapple just got a little better.
Hey, yo.
Something a little better on it. I just say it.
Pause.
But back to the fast pitch softball.
Back to the fast pitch softball, yes. So the third game in the series is tonight. And we mentioned how the gaming community, so to see it being able to be played at a high level, I think is something different. And I also feel like the local game needs a reinvigoration.
Right. And this is the point. I had this conversation with somebody who actually caught it on YouTube, because it was like, what y'all don't recognize is that a lot of young girls, they come up in softball just like the boys do. They eventually transition. The boys just always had something professional to aspire to.
Right.
MLB. The girls now have that. So if you could have this, not only this league, because there's a couple more fast pitch leagues going on throughout the states right now. If you could keep this in a space where people could see, you have a lot of our young girls have something to aspire to now. And that's been the most tremendous part of this whole entire series.
And the thing about it is, you have young Bahamians in the pipeline right now playing softball that you're going to hear about these names, because there are some major D1 offers in the works, and we see what's happening behind this. We see what's happening with women's college softball at the NCAA level. It's turning into a ratings monster.
Yeah.
And wherever eyes go, marketing dollars will follow, NIL dollars will follow. You see what happened with Nyjeri Kennedy at Texas Tech. If the precedent is set that a women's softball player can get $1 million NIL deal, then everyone playing the sport should have something to aspire to. That includes young Bahamian women. And like Rick Fox did for you, representation matters. There could be young women watching this weekend saying, well, yeah, there's some respect to our local leagues, but there's something that I can aspire to beyond that. And I can actually get paid for doing this post-college, because the women that we see here playing in this Queens of Paradise series, high-level D1 players, they are not just playing this game for fun.
And I can tell you could see it in the competition. There was at no point during the first two games that I sat back and was like, these just dog games. Even in game one, when points were hard to come by,
yeah,
we saw tremendous pitching performance by Pease for Atlanta and Felton for Orlando Monarchs. It's just mind-boggling to understand the talent is out there producing like this.
Okay, do we shift now away from what's happening on local soil and talk about, I'm sure this is a cliche that you wanted to get to, greatest thing in sports, the greatest two words in sports, game seven.
Well, I don't think it's the great, I feel like the greatest phrase in sport is Super Bowl. I'm a NFL.
Yeah, but nobody right said nobody says the greatest phrase. They always say the greatest two words in sports. Game seven.
Nah, that's they only said it in the NBA space. They don't even say it in the MLB space.
They say that anywhere there's a game seven.
Nah.
Yes, but you can't just brush it aside by just saying no. That's actually a fact.
I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting that. I've not.
Okay, do you accept that 2 + 2 = 4?
I do.
This is the same premise.
Hold on. Just hit me out. I've not seen a good Game 7 in quite some time.
Game is not what makes Game 7. It's the stakes. Fair. Every Super Bowl is not great. Every college basketball national championship to end March Madness isn't great. But the stakes attached to it is what actually makes it. So, like, think. I'm sure you remember Celtics-Lakers. Horrible game. Kobe actually had a horrible game, but the Lakers won. The saved by Ron Artest.
I just got to say, the only thing I can remember is Ron Artest hitting the three, and after the game,
he had two of them.
He was so locked in that the only thing he could say when they asked him, what is his thoughts on the game?
Thank his therapist.
Kobe passed me the ball.
Yeah.
Kobe passed me the ball. Yes. No, I can remember that.
And then he thanked his therapist.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be, the game itself doesn't have to be great, but the stakes attached to it is what make it special.
All right.
And that's what's going to happen tomorrow evening.
Let me get to the core of my issue here.
Okay.
I don't like SGA. I don't like SGA.
What is there not to like about this extremely nice Canadian man with Antiguan and Barbudan roots?
I like the... Well, his dad is clearly at some point died from Jamaica.
That's a Caribbean man.
The way he talked to Jeff
King, that's a Caribbean man.
It got to be a fight up to right now.
Well, for him to say the word breed itself. just to say that. The standalone just saying that.
Anyway. That's something we got to get into on a podcast. Hopefully we can get a podcast.
I didn't say within the context that he said it. We could have been talking horses. Or dogs.
Somebody got to throw hands in feet after that. But no, I've just not been, and we've had this conversation on or off during this entire season, because it was quite clear from the get-go that SGA was just up there this year. He was going to have an MVP caliber season eventually. He went on to win.
He was close last year.
I don't know. It's just
what is it that missing. What is it that you don't like?
It's not flashy enough. It's not dominant
Why
enough.
Does it have to... How is it not dominant if you are the top scorer in the league?
Let me see.
You are the best. Even when you are the top scorer in the league, and you are now playing not dominant about that.
There's no clear cut memory I could go back to, and I was like, "Hey, SGA came down 7 straight possessions, threw up a bucket." Like, it's just
not. Those absolutely exist because you don't remember them, or they're not at the forefront of your mind. That's a you thing. Those absolutely exist because there is no way you average the amount of points that he averaged.
Free throw line.
There are players that shoot more free throws than he do.
Ooh.
And this is the thing about it is this is what happens with basketball conversations, and this is a part of the reason why I end up hating the internet, and I hate basketball dialogue on the internet because it's the ChatGPTification of basketball arguments now. There are people that actually do not care about the facts because it's much easier for me to just regurgitate what I've heard one or two people say.
The narrative.
So I can just run with the narrative.
No, I'd say about 4 of the first 6 games in full. The other 2 games, just bits and pieces and replays. And I've just not seen an MVP caliber performance. So like right now, if they go on to win this championship, I don't think he's the finals MVP.
He absolutely is the finals MVP.
I think
Chet Holmgren hasn't shown up. Jaden Williams has been in and out. It's absolutely going to be shy if they win.
If you go back and you look over the 3 games that they have won, it's predominantly been games where of output.
Yeah, but that's what you should have from a number 2 guy.
Why I think he should be the MVP if they go on to win the series.
He's the number. He's clearly the number 2 guy. This isn't a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum situation.
That's completely different. I'm just saying so far for the finals. The first 6 games that we've seen, in my opinion, I think Jaylen Williams has been more clutch.
You know my problem with the whole free throw argument that people make about SGA?
Go ahead.
Why were free throws invented and brought into the game in the first place? Like, should you just be able to just foul somebody? That usually happens when you can't stop someone. That usually happens when you can't defend without fouling. Is why it happens.
Nah, if we can keep it a buck, it's been quite clear that in a lot of the instances where he gets his way to the line, they've been, in a lot of situations, minimal contact. He's not driving to the basket and getting slap upside his head struck down or anything like that.
Yeah, but I think a big part...
It's tiki-tok.
A big part of the negative connotation behind it is that's somehow less noble than...
It's basketball now. It is less
noble.
Allen Iverson being the small guy on the court.
And I was about to
go up and down with the flashy moves, be able to get to the basket and compete with somebody like the caliber shot.
The Flash and NBA 2K video games have ruined the way we consume basketball as well is about a bag. Everything is about, you mentioned the word flashy several times.
Yes.
Why does it have to be flashy if it's effective?
Because it's basketball.
It's effective. Do you mean to tell me the Thunder aren't playing an entertaining brand of basketball?
Not to me.
That's wild to you,
not
boy.
To me.
That's wild not to your me. Boy.
It feels like they just going up and down the court.
Hey, man, if you could stop him without fouling, then he wouldn't be going to the free throw
line
9 times
a game. If the refs
would stop
calling ticky-tock calls...
Why would they... So are they just calling it for him? What is it about him that makes it exclusive for the NBA to say, hey...
Because I can see it's not really contact happening.
So, okay, explain to me from a marketing standpoint why the NBA would say, hey, this Canadian that went to... And obviously I'm going to argue for him because he went to Kentucky. But this Canadian... With these Caribbean roots.
I call out your bias while also being biased. I love it. Welcome to Accredited. I love it. I love it. But go ahead.
I mean, yeah. I saw this coming a mile away. Y'all late to the party. But anyway, this Canadian with these Caribbean roots, why is it that the NBA would say, let's put our marketing machine behind him as he plays in Oklahoma City?
Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Let's not do what you're doing. Give him the credit for being the player that he is.
Let's not pretend that the NBA has not been a league built on promotional material.
But why would they do it for him? There were so many. You cannot tell me that this is the finals that the NBA wanted.
No.
There's no way that this is the finals that the NBA wanted.
But so when people come out of it.
When people make this, but this is what he's been doing the entire season. This is what he's been doing the last few years. When people make the argument that there's this bias towards him, my only rebuttal to that is, well, show me the motive. Why would it be there?
Question like this. If he came from Texas, how would you feel?
I would feel the same way. I love his game. I don't think everybody has to have the same cookie cutter game. I think the game has become too much. It's either threes or layups and that's it. And there's nothing in between. I feel like
no, it's not.
That is the NBA.
Now, What is Kawhi Leonard's game?
You know why you can identify what Kawhi Leonard does? Well, most people don't even know, because when was the last time you seen Kawhi Leonard be on the floor for an extended period of time?
But when he is on the court, he's a mid-range monster.
Yes, but he's one of few, Cotto. You can't tell me that the mid... People say it all the time, how the mid-range has kind of been weaned out of the NBA. But when, threes.
I agree with you, but when he's the person on the court delivering like that, it is spectacular to watch.
I think it will change now that the MVP isn't just all threes.
I've never sat back, watched an SGA game, and been like, this guy's good to watch. I've just never been in that position. Pause.
I hope they win.
I don't. I. Everything in my.
You know what? I'm not even mad at the Pacers winning, to be honest, because I do like this Pacers team.
Whatever Pascal did in Game 6, do it again. Whatever Haliburton needs to do. There was a clip that went viral this past week where somebody ran the metrics and realized he can't go left. Please open up the right side of the court. Allow him to go right all night. I need the Pacers to win just for the mere fact that I can't be stuck in the weird vortex where SGA and the version of basketball OKC players is the only basketball we celebrate.
It's not the only one we celebrate, because we just saw the Celtics win last year, and that's not the only brand of basketball we celebrate. They just shoot 75 threes a game. Well, they shoot themselves in and out of games. We don't have to continue to celebrate that, and not every champion is the one that changes the mold. You know I like chaos. I feel like this is just going to force us to reevaluate how we think of somebody in the terms of how we view them long term, in the way we view legacy. So either Tyrese Haliburton is going to have to be considered a legitimate superstar, either him or Pascal Siakam. You're going to have to put them into the conversation. Whether you like it or not, they're going to have to be there. Right. SGA is already there, but now you're going to have to reconcile the fact, if they win, you're going to have to reconcile with the fact that SGA led an OKC team to a title while three MVPs couldn't. While Westbrook, KD, and James Harden couldn't.
See, I think in both of those situations, there are very, very small arguments that you can make to explain both. So with
always.
They
ran into LeBron and Wade, Bosh.
No, but with the Pacers thing, I think it goes back to the same thing we saw a couple of years back with the Pistons. The right mix of guys with the right coach can get it done. That's a proven NBA model. We've seen that. With the SGA thing, we've seen this whole flash in the pan kind of idea. If you have a superstar that has the right thing going for him at the time, he could get a ring. We've seen that. We've seen Elijah Wan did it for his two back-to-back. That could be the same model we see right now with SGA. It's not that. It brings me right back to the point. He's not doing anything. OKC is not doing anything that we have not seen before, that we have not seen take the league by storm before. This is normal.
This is not normal. And I realize as you were talking, I get what it is.
Go ahead.
The Pacers are your pineapple tart.
I respect that. I respect that. They deserve it. They deserve it. They deserve all the credit. They deserve to be the better tart. They deserve to get the respect that they've rightfully earned.
OKC is coconut tart.
They trash.
This is how
trash.
You cannot...
Trash.
If this is how we got to end the show, this is how we got to end the show. You can choose pineapple as a superior tart. You cannot call coconut trash. That's ridiculous. Why? That's like going... Because that's like going 1A and 1B.
You know what you remind me of? Remember a couple of years back, we had to do a bracket for like Thanksgiving dishes?
Yes, we're going to bring that back this year.
What was your choice for the top item?
Turkey.
You did not pick turkey. It was you or Kari. Somebody picked like a little weird side. Was it turkey? And I was like, the argument I had is, how do you have Thanksgiving without a turkey? This is the issue. Pineapple tart is superior. The Indiana Pacers are better to watch. They're a better story going forward for the NBA. We're done with the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander conversation.
It's so sad that you're going to have to live with him being in the MVP conversation for the next decade. That'll do it for this episode of The Accredited. I can't wait to talk about SGA's MVP performance next week.